The assault on America as founded and what is allowed to be taught about America and American history in the schools is our topic. And this includes the issue of CRT, critical race theory. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest is Dr. Carol Swain, retired professor from Vanderbilt, who also served and taught at Princeton at one point. And in fact, she helped with the 1776 Commission Report. Dr. Swain, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. And I'm also pleased to announce that I am a distinguished senior fellow with the Texas Public Policy Foundation, and I will be doing quite a bit with them over the coming year.
Oh, super. Well, congratulations. So tell us, is America as founded under assault in any ways?
It's unrecognizable. And so the answer to that question is yes. The America that most of us were born into that are older, I would say that it no longer exists. And sometimes it feels as if our foreign enemies have more influence with our legislators than we the people.
That's interesting. Your website is even bethepeople.tv, Be the People. What is that? You know, can you explain why you chose that name?
Well, the main website I use, I mean, my brand is Be the People. And so I have a Be the People News .com website, as well as a nonprofit called Be the People Project. And that name came from a book that I published in 2011, Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. And during the time when that book was published, I, along with a lot of people, grappled with the fact that America, a country at that time, 78% of the people professed to be Christians, yet we had elected ungodly politicians and our policies were anything but Christian. And so with that book, it was written, you know, primarily to Christians because it was obvious that people either did not know the tenets of their faith. If 78% of Americans at that time professed to be Christians and they were electing the politicians they were and standing by the policy outputs, they either did not know their Bible or they did not know what was taking place in the country. And so in that book, Be the People, I warned about some of the things we see taking place today. At that time, the Obama administration, they were forging the alliance with big tech, with Google, and the National Security Agency. The Pentagon had a proposal they were floating to set up an Office of Strategic Deception. This office was supposed to deceive our foreign enemies, but I had enough sense to know that if they were going to do it in foreign countries, that it would find its way back to America. And so that book had chapters on abortion, the family, that dealt with the attacks on the family, immigration, and other related issues that related to what was taking place in our country. Each chapter ended with the biblical worldview. It talked about the policy. It was very well documented. It ended with the biblical worldview and study questions. And then the main thrust of the book is that to have a nation that we all needed to know our founding history, our founding documents. And so I recommended that people read and know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Ten Commandments. And so this book was published in 2011, and I believe that the way to reclaim America's faith and promise was to go back to those founding documents that held us together. And like many of my books, it's considered prescient that I pointed to these things because we look at America today, and my book is even more relevant now than it was back in 2011 when I thought it was going to save the world and prevent an Obama reelection.
Oh, well, you know, it's so interesting. A lot of people don't know your story, but your story in many ways is like an ideal example of the American dream, where it wasn't just rags to riches. It was, very difficult background that you came from. And then by God's grace, you were able to even earn a PhD and then later teach at Princeton and then Vanderbilt and so forth. And then you got into trouble because your views were not politically correct. And you hold to the, more traditional understanding about our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Can you tell us about that, kind of in a nutshell, about your own story and your background, how it relates to this war on America as founded?
I can tell you that I was one of 12 children born and raised in rural poverty in southwestern Virginia. We all dropped out of school after completing the eighth grade. I married at 16, had my first child at 17. By the time I was 21, I had three small children. People entered into my life. One was a medical doctor. One was an African orderly that encouraged me to do more with my life. I got a high school equivalency. I went to a community college and earned the first of five college and university degrees. I worked full time as an undergraduate, 40 hours a week, nights and weekends, graduated and went to school, full-time and worked full-time, graduated magna cum laude, never sought to get a PhD, but was steered into academia. By the time I was graduating with my PhD, I was known across the country. I had a short list of schools. I got a sign-in bonus, took my first job at Princeton. I earned early tenure there. I won national prizes, the highest prize a political scientist can win, the Woodrow Wilson Prize. And then the Lord put in motion the circumstances that led to my conversion experience. And, pretty much he called me into the kingdom. And when I tell my story, I can see how God raised me up, for such a time as this. And the prophetic words I received over the course of my life in my early 20s, strangers came up to me and they said, "You're going to be famous someday." Nothing about what I was doing that made sense. And my work has been considered prescient, all of my books. And I do believe that, God has called me, he's positioned me, and he removed a lifelong shyness when I had my Christian conversion experience in my early 40s.
Well, as I hear, you used to live in a shack with your 11 other siblings. It would have been hand to mouth. Was hunger ever an issue in your household?
Well, hunger was an issue, and all 12 of us didn't live in the same house at the same time.
Oh, I see.
There's probably no more than 9 of us to live together in a 2-room shack that was later expanded to 4 rooms. But hunger was frequent, and not having the right clothes for school. And I can remember times that when it snowed, we stayed home until the snow melted because we had to walk a distance to get to the bus stop and cross the highway and wait for a bus that often never showed up. And we didn't have a car. We missed a lot of school. One year we missed 80 of 180 days. And when I look back at my life, I can just see how God was always there and how he set me apart. And my mother said I was always different from my other children. I was always more serious. And I can say that as a child, I had a sense of urgency. I always felt like there was something I was supposed to do, and I did not fit at home. I've never fit anywhere, except maybe now. I'm in my 60s, and I'm totally comfortable with who I am and with my faith and being different. I'm totally comfortable with that, but it was not an easy life. But God has blessed me tremendously, and he's given me a voice and a platform, and that's what I'm using right now. And I don't live my life in fear. I'm not, we're going to die of something someday. I'm not living in fear of dying of coronavirus or someone, taking my life or whatever, because I know God is in control, that he orders my footsteps. He has a time, a place, a manner for my death. And when the time comes, my work on earth will be finished. And so I don't live my life in fear.
Do you think in some ways your story, which exemplifies, again, the American dream, is not something that could easily be replicated, let's say, in other country situations? You could have been born in the Soviet Union. Well, it would be pretty hard to, advance from a backward start. Same thing would be true in many other places.
Except this, you know, I think America is a special country. I'm disappointed in America at this point, but with God, all things are possible. And so I happen to have been born in America, and during the time when the civil rights movement opened up opportunities. And people talk about systemic racism. I was born in 54. There was systemic racism then. I watched it collapse. I watched the passage of three major civil rights bills. I watched opportunities open up for people like me. And so I benefited by being an American. But at the same time, you know, God can take anyone from any part of the world and raise them up and elevate them and put them exactly where he wants them to be. And so, you know, being born in America was great, but I know that God is all powerful. So you could have been born, you know, in sub-Sahara Africa, and if God wanted you to be positioned, you would get positioned wherever he wanted you to be.
Great point. Okay, so let me ask you a question. We hear people today talking about modern America as if it, you know, is full of systemic racism, even to this very day.
Well, I mean, I have a book. It's co-authored called Black Eye for America, How Critical Race Theory is Burning Down the House. And it was published this summer, meant for parents and lay people to explain to them what was taking place. And the racism I see today, most of it is targeted against white people. And critical race theory itself is racist. It argues that all white people are oppressors, all minorities are victims, that white people need to divest themselves of their whiteness, that only white people can be racist, that all minorities are victims. It argues for lowered standards for minorities, sometimes segregation of minorities. It is a very white supremacist theory itself, and it's rooted in cultural Marxism, you know, critical legal theories, postmodernism that argues that there's no objective truths. It is a part of an evil system, and unfortunately, there are some churches that have fallen into the trap of the social justice narrative, where racial and ethnic minorities are used as a way to drive wedges between Americans. And so there are things that are taking place that shouldn't be taking place, and people that really care about racial reconciliation and race relations, they should realize that you cannot do that using a conflict theory. They should also realize that critical race theory is unconstitutional, runs counter to our civil rights laws, and that it's evil and it's un-American. And you see things that are coming from people. It makes no sense at all. One of the things that people have argued is, in New York State, for example, where they're saying that when it comes to the monoclonal antibodies for the treatment of COVID patients, that they're going to use race, and racial and ethnic minorities are going to get treatments ahead of white people. That is racism, and it's a violation of the Constitution. These things should not be happening, and we need to stand up to it and realize that it's evil, it's un-American, and that it's racist.
Okay, we have half a minute left. BeThePeople.tv is your website. Can we turn America around? Are you optimistic or pessimistic?
I mean, I'm a Christian, so with God, all things are possible, but people need to wake up from their slumber, that there's so many Christians that are living in fear, that, you know, they're fearful of COVID, they're fearful to go to church, they're fearful to speak up. As long as they live in fear, they're being controlled. And so if we're going to turn this country around, it will take another great revival, and it's going to take people that have more fear of God than they have of government and of death.
Wow. Amen. Carol Swain, Dr. Carol Swain, BeThePeople.tv. Thanks so much for joining us. All the best.
All right.
God bless. Bye-bye.